you, Ryan. I didn't know my last name would give a pastor trouble. All right, we tested this earlier, so you shouldn't get any beard scratching. I apologize if you do. I also get really nervous in front of people, so I brought this from home to help. Actually, we're going to get to that later. That has nothing to do with it. But all right, so Joe, when he asked me to preach, told me that I had the choice between John 11 and John 12. And this was about 4 weeks ago, and I sat there and I read both of them probably 8 or 9 times and finally decided on John 12, and a specific section of John 12. But mostly I chose John 12 because I thought, well, maybe this will be a little easier than John 11. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with that one. So I chose John 12 without really deciding what I was going to preach on, and I read it another 9 or 10 times, and finally came to a very small passage. So just a quick background first. We just got done with Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Early in this chapter, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. There's a big party. Everyone's excited. Then he predicts his death. And then on verse 34 through, I didn't write that part down. That was silly. 34 till when I stop. He says, so the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." So at first I just skipped over this. I thought, all right, well, I walk in the light. I follow Jesus. No big deal. He must be talking about something else. Because, you know, when we think of darkness, a lot of times we think of, like, terrorist attacks or mass murders or something that we ourselves would have nothing to do with. So I just skipped over it. But then I thought more about it, and I'm like, well, who's he talking to right now? And he's talking to the people who are following him and are praising him as God. So there must be more to this, is what I thought. I mean, why would he say that to people following him if we're talking about horrible, horrible things? So the first thing I had to do was say, what is light? Well, that one was pretty easy to answer in John. In John 1, 4 through 9, he says, bookmarked everything so I could get there before I got to that part. John 1, 4 through 9, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it." And then he goes on to talk a little bit more about the light. Then in John 8:12, Jesus says, "He is the light of life." And so, obviously, the light is Jesus. So that brought me to, what is this darkness we're talking about? So I decided to just go back and think a little bit about God's people. And we have a history of not really walking in the light. First example I came across was the, well, first example I wanted to use that I came across. There was a lot of examples before this. The golden calf, Exodus 32. So God's people, taken out of Egypt, followed a giant pillar of light. And Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And while he's out there, the Israelites decided, you know what, he's been there a long time. So we think we should make a calf, and we think this calf that we made 10 minutes ago is actually what took us out of Egypt. And then we have, later on, we have the rejection of the Messiah. He comes into the world. We see it in John 1. He comes in. Light comes into the world. World doesn't receive him. And then you just look through church history, and we have an entire history of doing things that aren't really walking in the light. We have had massive wars done in God's name. We've persecuted people in God's name. We've rejected people in God's name. That's why so many reformations and restoration movements and all those different movements started, because we thought, you know what, the church is screwed up, we've got to fix this. But it's not just God's people. We got to look at the individuals here. So we've got Jonah. In Jonah 1, the Lord comes to Jonah and says, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And then in verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So, knows exactly what God has him to do, decides, you know what, I don't really want to do this, so he runs away. In Numbers 20, Moses is, he's dealing with a bunch of bickering God's people, which they liked to do during that time, and any other time since then. So, in the current situation, they've got no water. So they're all bickering. They said they're better off in Egypt or perishing with their friends that have died before that. Moses is pretty upset with all of this, naturally. Goes to God. God tells Moses to take his staff and go speak to a rock. Pretty simple task. Just go speak to the rock. And Moses decided, you know what? I'm just going to hit it. So he hits it with his staff. Water comes out. God says, Moses, that's great, but you're not going to the promised land. Then we have in the New Testament, we've got Peter walking on water. So they're out in the middle of the storm, all the disciples in a boat. Jesus is coming walking across the water in the middle of this storm. Peter says, hey, you know what? That looks like fun. Let me come out with you. So God calls him out to him. Peter's walking on the water, having a great time, I'm sure. And then he starts getting distracted by all the waves and the storm, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. So then we get to John, and there's a constant back and forth of following versus rejection. So in John 1, again, the light comes into the world rejects him. John 6, Jesus feeds a lot of people. He walks on the water, shows up on the other side of the lake, and people start bickering as to whether he could be the Messiah. And in the very same chapter, he loses some of his own disciples. John 11, that we heard about last week, Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead, and right after that, we see a plot to kill Jesus. And John 12, Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem, big party, and he immediately predicts his death. So all through John, we've got this something great happens, followed exactly by some rejection of him. And as a result of all this, he says, listen up, walk in the light, this is where you need to be. So the question then came, like, what's holding me back? So I thought, you know, there's some Jonahs that they know exactly what God wants them to do, but they decided, you know what, that's too much for me, and they leave. Jonah did it because he was scared. Nineveh was a terrible, terrible place. There's some Moseses that trust and listen, but want to do things their way. So Moses, at this point, he'd followed God, seen God, was spoken to directly by God, but he decided his way was better. And then there's some Peters who are out there and they're following God, but then they just get distracted. There's so much to get distracted by. And his was the storm, but, you know, there's storms in life all around us. So I was thinking, and it's a lot like this teddy bear. When you were a little kid and you're in your room in the dark and you're scared, first thing you do is you grab that teddy bear and you're holding it tight, and you're just scared in the dark. And you're holding it and thinking it's going to make it better, but it doesn't. You still hear that noise in your closet or under your bed, that monstrous hand that's about to come up and grab you and yank you under. And so you just keep getting more scared, and what you're holding on to is just not doing it for you. So the first thing you do after that is you call out for Dad. Say, Dad, come help me. And the first thing he does is he comes in the room and he turns on the light. So you gotta let go of whatever you think is better, because God's way is always going to be better. God's got a plan for you, and he's got a perfect plan. And if you follow that and you stay in that, then it's going to work out for you. It's not going to be the easiest life. I'm not going to lie to you and say, walk in the light, it's going to be great. Everything's going to go easy. You're going to have lots of money. You're not going to have to worry about paying your bills. But there's that strength that Ryan was talking about in worship. There's that strength that comes from following him, being in his plan, that gives you that ability to get through it. So, just one more time. Darkness is not some big, horrible thing. It's something we're all going to struggle with. And you need to walk in that light, follow God, trust God. Your way is not going to be better. Your way is just a human way. There's so much God calls you to do that you can't do through your own strength. So I wanted to close with 1 John 1:1-5. It says, this is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. F.F. Bruce says, God is the fountain of all holiness and righteousness, goodness and truth, and his children's lives are marked by these qualities. So I just want to encourage you to think about whatever's holding you back. Are you the Jonah that just doesn't want to do it? Are you the Moses who thinks that your way is going to be the better way of doing it? Or are you the Peter that's distracted and scared? I'm going to have the worship team come up and we're going to sing one more song. And I just want you to really, really think about this and pray about this and figure out what you need to let go. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to come before friends and brothers and sisters in Christ and speak your word to them. Lord, I pray that you help us to let go of everything that hinders us from following you to our fullest ability. Lord, we're scared, we're broken, we're selfish. I just pray that you help us let go of that and just follow you.
darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Just stand with us, Christ alone. Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak man's wrong, in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is the Lord, He's Lord of all, He's Lord of all, He's Lord of all, He's Lord.
Strong. Give us the ability to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen.
God bless. Thanks for coming. We'll see you back next Sunday. Take care. Have a good Sunday.